Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting for the month of October, the 8th of October. And man, it's just a privilege and an honor. I want to thank all of the new listeners that have been listening. I have through some software, I can go ahead and I can look at, you know, how many new listeners, how many unique visits, and, you know, how many hits we have already in October. We have already over 200,000 hits. And I just thank the Lord for, there's a lot of new listeners, and I just thank the Lord for that. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into what the Lord would have for us tonight. And tonight we'll be sharing Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 69. And we're going to look at Make a Change. But before we get into that, let's go ahead and kind of point our spirit and our hearts back to what we looked at last time that I spoke. And there's a number of points that I would like to look at, amen? The first point is certain tested issues in our life cannot be avoided. Let me say that again. There are certain issues, there are certain things in our life, there are certain tests and the proving that God has that cannot be avoided if we're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our spiritual growth and development comes not out of how well we can, you know, sing in the choir, how much money we give the church, cut the grass, all that good stuff. That is not where spiritual growth and development happens. Now we got to do those things, don't get me wrong, but our spiritual growth and development does not come from the good works that we do. Believe it or not, our spiritual growth and development comes from all of the tests and the proving and all of those troubles in our life. And as we overcome that, as we go ahead and move to that. You know, a lot of people think when they go to heaven, they're going to get all of their rewards and all that good stuff. Well, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that's not going to have a lot of rewards. They're not going to inherit much because Revelation 21:7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit." So for us to inherit something in heaven, there must be things that we must overcome in our life. Amen? So that's a very, very important spiritual truth that we looked at last time over here. Number two, we cannot leave out one quarter of our foundation, and expect spiritual prosperity and growth in our life. Our foundation must be laid 100%. We must have a solid foundation, not built on sand, sinking sand or marsh or whatever, but our foundation must be laid 100%. And it must be solid. It must be in the Word of God. It can't be in this doctrine and that doctrine and this thinking and this philosophy. It must be built only on the Word of God and what God has done in our life. Third point is we must allow God to lay the proper foundation in us. Now that's a difference than the first point. I mean, you have a second point there. But there must be a proper foundation by God laid in us. And only God can lay that foundation in us. And we must want that foundation. We must allow God free reign in our life to deal and judge in our life so He can lay the proper foundation in us. And God wants to do that, but the question is, do we want to do that? We often expect God to do everything. And God, you know, can go ahead and make this happen and make that happen, but God does not do that. God gives man a free will. And He wants that to happen, but man's free will oftentimes will override what God wants, and then the individual gets what they want. The fourth point is, when answering God's call, especially in ministry, we must obey His proper order. We must obey His proper order. The proper order is God, family, ministry. Now, if we get that wrong, we're going to get in trouble. I promise you that. I've got that wrong. And God has corrected me many, many times. And that order is God, family, ministry. In the home, the order is God, husband, wife, children. That's the proper order. There's no moving around it. There's no, you know, moving in and out and trying this and that. Grandparents don't play in there and stuff. The order is God, husband, wife, children. And then in the church is the God, pastor, and then the people. And it's not God, then the deacon board, and then the pastor. Because that's not the way that God has things arranged in the church. It's God, the pastor, then the people. Very, very important point. Point number five is we must allow God to build the basics in us. We must allow God to build the basics. Those ABCs that we looked at last time in us before we can go on to the advanced things of God. You know, some of the most advanced things of God is Jesus died for my sins. And we want to go ahead and spiritualize salvation and do all of this, you know, this hyper-spiritualism and stuff like that. But actually, the basics really is the advanced stuff. The basic things that God died for our sins and we are saved by grace through faith. All of these basic things, believe it or not, are the advanced things in our life. Just two more points from last time. It was a very powerful time. Is pride and presumption will prevent us from fulfilling the basics and returning to a daily commitment and renewal. For the past couple of times I've been talking, is the children of Israel in the wilderness of Zen, God wanted them to come to a place of rededication, a place of recommitment, a place of renewal in their life so that they could go left. God's purpose and plan, God wanted them to go left into the promised land. But they didn't come to that commitment. They didn't come to that place of renewal. They didn't come to that daily thing, and so they continued migrating off to the right, and we'll talk about that a little later. The last point is we must lay a correct foundation at the ending. If not, there will not be a walk with the Lord. Amen? We must lay a correct foundation. Amen? At the beginning, because if not, our ending will not be what we are looking for. Amen? Amen. Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 67. We've got to remember that the Wilderness Truths for Modern Times was something that Paul told the church at Corinth. And Paul told the church at Corinth, I think the 13th chapter, he said, to study, not look at or think about, but to study the lives of the children of Israel in the wilderness. And of course, that's in Deuteronomy and Numbers and Exodus. And look at the mistakes that they made, so that you will not make the same mistakes. And so that's what this whole Wilderness Truths for Modern Times is. We've been looking at the children of Israel and all of the things that they did right and all of the things that they did wrong, so that we too wouldn't follow after, you know, the mistakes that they made. And I would say they made more mistakes than they did right things. But, and so that is just an ever warning for us. Amen. Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 69, the verse is Numbers 27:14. Numbers 27:14, it says, for ye rebelled against my commandments in the desert of Zin. Well, in the wilderness of the desert of Zin, the children of Israel, they rebelled. They rebelled against God. They did not do those things that God wanted them to do. And the strife of the congregation who sanctified me at the water before their eyes. And, you know, we talked about Kadesh and how, you know, how Moses got upset at Kadesh and so forth and so on. And Moses paid a price at the end of his life here at Kadesh. But to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. The children of Israel did not do what God wanted them to do. And this was a big, this is a really, really big wilderness for them, because this was going to be the turning point. This was the turning point that God had for them, but they did not do what He wanted them to do. So tonight we're going to look at make a change. Make a change. But we are brought to the same situation as the children of Israel for the same test over and over again. In this way, we have ample opportunities to correct our errors. Many people say, well, why does God go ahead and retest us and bring us to, you know, the same situation and the same circumstances in our life? Well, God has just given us another opportunity to correct the mistakes that we made the last time. Amen? We have ample opportunity to correct our errors, then change our attitudes. Change our attitudes. Take advantage of these tests and areas in our life that we fail in, that's not that bad in God. If you fail in the world, and they're going to just, you know, throw you out on the dung heap and that's it. But in God, it's okay if you fail, as long as you don't get stuck in it, as long as you don't get stuck in your failure, as long as you learn the lesson that God is going to teach you the second time. It might take you the third time, but that doesn't matter if it's three or four or five times. What matters is, in the end, you learn the lesson that God wants you to learn. My teacher Charles Hahn said, count your testings, name them one by one, and you will see what God has done. Repent. Make your renewal, your dedication, and avoid permanent failure. Again, failure is okay. Let me say that again. Of course, God doesn't want you to fail. That's not His intention for you to fail. But if you do, thank God for grace and repentance and all of that good stuff. But it's not the end of end. But if you don't learn from your mistakes and your failures, then it will be an end of an end. Testings are what God uses to correct us. Testings are what God uses to correct us so that we can grow in Him. Testings and provings and working in our life is what God uses to correct us, to teach us, and to get us to move in the right direction. The wilderness of Zin is the most critical and serious of all the wildernesses in the Bible. Of all of the different wildernesses the children of Israel they went through, the wilderness of Zin was the most critical and serious. Rebellion persists right up to the last minute of opportunity. God brought them to all of these different wildernesses, and the opportunity to repent and change, was right up to the section that God said, okay, you're going to go right. You're not going to go left. You're going to go right. We all have our wilderness of Zin in our lives. Amen? We all have our wilderness of Zin in our life. Don't think that the children of Israel that we're better than they are. We are no different than they are. And that's what Paul was telling the church at Corinth. Study these guys so that you don't make the same mistakes in your days. And I will promise you, we all have our wilderness of Zin in our life. There was no submission to God in the situations and conditions in which persisted. The attitude of knowing more than God persisted. So in the wilderness of Zin, the people thought they knew more than God. Wow. Sounds like today. Numbers 20:4 says, and why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that ye and our cattle should die there? Who do you think you are, God? Who do you think you are to bring us here to die and our cattle? Wow. My goodness, my goodness. Rebellion to spiritual authority is the biggest deal in our life to God. Let me say that again. The biggest deal to God in our life is how we react to spiritual authority. Why? Moses, don't you know any better than that? Rebellion against spiritual authority. Rebellion, directed toward each other. Rebellion at God. Thus, they bring an indictment against God at Kadesh, the place for the renewal and the dedication. Again, God wanted them to make this renewal. God wanted them to recommit themselves to God. But they didn't. They thought they knew more than God. They thought they knew more than Moses. And why did you bring us out here to do all of that stuff? Well, I will tell you, rebellion to spiritual authority is the biggest deal to God, because I will tell you, God's authority is God Himself. When they were always rebelling against Moses, they thought that they were always rebelling against Moses, but in reality, they were rebelling against God, and then rebelling against God's authority. Because it is a rebellion against God Himself. Anytime we rebel against spiritual authority in our lives, and have that be our husband, or the pastor, or authorities, the cops, and all of those things, that is a rebellion, believe it or not, against God Himself. And I promise you, God will take care of His authority. God will take care of His authority. Are we much smarter than these people? No. Have you ever heard or said something like this? Why am I in this situation? Why am I without the blessings of God? What did I do to be brought to such a desolate place? What's going to happen? I don't understand with any of this. I am going to fail here. I just know it. These are all indictments on God. Amen? All indictments on God. We must measure our words when dealing with those in God. Amen? We must measure our words when dealing with those with those in God, who God puts in authority over us. We must measure our words when dealing with those that God puts in authority over us, because that's really God Himself, amen, in our lives. They are not people. They are God's authority. As I said, God will protect His authority. The Bible is full of examples of people that rose up against God's authority in rebellion. Korah, the 250 elders, come to mind. And three times Moses worshipped, he fell on his face and, you know, interceded for them. But the third time God said, Moses, separate yourself from them. And God caused the earth to open up and they all fell in and the earth closed back up. And that was it. God will protect His authority, so we must be very careful when we talk to people in authority. These statements and the like are a manifestation of a heart in disagreement with God's divine arrangement. So when we get upset, God, why did you do that? What's going on here? I'm not going to do that. That means that we are rebelling against God and we are not willfully coming in to God's divine arrangement. Let me say that again. When we get upset and we say all that crazy stuff like I just read, then we are having a disagreement with God, His authority, and with God's divine arrangements for our life. At this point, there is only one element into which this heart can enter, and that is failure. When we get upset at God, there's only one thing we can do, unless we repent, thank God, but unless we repent, we get all upset at God and say all these negative things, there's only one thing that can lead to, and that is failure. Preventing impatience, murmuring, and rebellion, all that means failure. There can be no further progress in God until these matters are out of the way. It's impossible to move forward in God if we're murmuring and complaining and bellyaching and causing all of it. Oh man, well, this is terrible. You're not going to move forward in God. You're just going to go ahead and go into failure. 1 Peter 2:1-2 says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and evils and all evil speaking. Now, if you have your Bible, you need to underline that. All evil speaking. That's not cussing at somebody. That is rebelling in God's authority. Or saying, I'm going to be a failure and, you know, we can't do it. And all that's evil speaking there. As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So if there's malice and there's guile and there's hypocrisy, saying one thing but doing another, and you're envious, I want this or I want that, or evil speaking, all of that stuff, there will be no spiritual growth in your life. Amen? And God Himself must judge our heart in words to deal with our rebellion. It is God, and God Himself must judge our heart in words to deal with our rebellion. Take heed, my brothers and sisters. God does not play with His authority. Boy, that is big. And I don't know why I'm sharing this tonight, but people's going to be listening to this from around the world, and you need to really get this in your spirit. Take heed. God does not play with His authority. Amen. To follow the correct course is not a matter which is so mystical, so high above us, that we cannot come into it. It is a simple matter of obedience. Wow. It is a simple matter of obedience. When we're out there evil speaking and doing all of those things, it's a simple matter of obedience. All we do is stop, realize what we're saying, and repent of that. It all boils down to a heart desiring to be submitted to God in all of His appointed situations. We may not understand what God is doing in our life, and that really does not matter. If we understand what God is doing or where He's not going or where He's taking us, what matters is we have a love for God and we will follow Him wherever He takes us. It doesn't matter if we understand and we know, but what matters is we have a love for Him and wherever He goes, you know, wherever He wants to take us, that's what matters. It is a matter of reading the Bible over and over to become familiar with God's priorities and relationship to His will. So, if this doesn't matter, if we understand all the mysteries and all of this stuff, that all doesn't matter. What matters is, do we have a love for God, and we are willing to do what He wants us to do. Fulfilling God's will happens in our life as we first fulfill God's priorities. Fulfilling God's will happens in our life if we first fulfill God's priorities. If you do not, if you never fulfill God's priorities in your life, then you can never ever do God's will for your life. Because God's will is tied to God's priorities for your life. This is a priority, this is a priority, and that's a priority. And as we satisfy those priorities in our life, then out of satisfying those priorities, then God's will unfolds to us, and we have that revelation, and we have that understanding. The problem with most intellectual people is that they're always stopped to analyze everything. There is no matter they can allow to rest in simplicity. I will tell you, God is simplicity. The gospel message is simplicity. There's not a lot of deep spiritual things out there, because those deep spiritual things are all so simplistic about God. That's one thing I so enjoyed about Charles Hahn, my teacher, was he was such a simplistic, deep teacher. He said that again, he was such a simplistic, deep teacher. He took simplistic things and he taught from them that had deep spiritual truths. And that's what the gospel is. You know, the gospel is simple. How Jesus died, was buried, and He rose from the dead. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing mystical and nothing deep about that. It's very, very simplistic. But out of that simplistic is the marvelous grace of God. Deuteronomy 1:21 says, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." It is difficult for some to obey without analyzing. And of course, we know right here what happened. They said, well, okay. Well, no, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, we're going to have to go ahead and send 10 spies up there, and we're going to have to see what's going on and see what kind of cities they have and see what kind of army they have and what kind of food is there and the water supply and all that. But that's not what God said. He didn't say, you know, be concerned about that. He said, just go up and take the land. Instead of a simple obedience to the word, their feet are stuck in the analytical quagmire, trying to figure things out. Yet they did not. They sent 10 spies in to search out and to analyze the situation. And in the end, it cost their lives plus 40 years. Now this was God's plan for them to go up and take the land, and that was it. But they didn't. They went right. They kept moving right. And in the end, it cost them their lives, because only Joshua and Caleb of the original group that left Goshen made it into the, the Canaan land, and then, or into the promised land, and it took 40 years of their life because of their disobedience and them not listening to what God wanted. They are attempting to understand rather than to obey. They are attempting to understand rather than obey. We must first see what it is. We must tear it apart and examine it instead of moving on in obedience. That's what God is looking for in our life. He's not looking for anything other than obedience. We were talking about John Wright Collett earlier, one of my teachers. And then there was another teacher, it was John Wright Collett, and he was at a Bible school, and he was the president of a Bible school, and he had his desk right here, and he had a chair, something like Jennifer's sitting on, but what he did is he cut off the legs, so there was about that much on the legs. And so when the Bible school student would come in and sit down, he was constantly, he could only look up and see John Wright Collett. So it wasn't an eye-to-eye conversation. He was sitting there, and right over John Wright Follett's head was a sign that said, "Yes, Lord." And so every time the Bible school student would ask a question, John Wright Follett would just put his hand over his head And the answer is yes, Lord. That's what God wants in our life. Not analyzing, not trying to figure this out, not figure that. Just doing what God wants us to do, and just, yes, Lord. That's what He's looking for. Instead of moving on in obedience, they cuddled around with some curious investigation. And again, it cost them their life and then 40 years. Thus, the substitute for obedience and dedication stopped them cold. The substitute for obedience and dedication. So in our Christian walk today, we will either be obedient or disobedient. We will either be obedient or disobedient. Now, if it takes 4 or 5 times for us to be obedient, praise God, that's what we need to do. But until we are obedient, then those 3 or 4 times that we're not obedient, then we are disobedient. So it's either obedient or disobedience. God's desire in His children, especially if you've been walking with the Lord for some time, in spiritual growth and maturity, is obedience the first time. Let me say that again. He's looking for obedience the first time. If it takes the 2nd and 3rd time, well, okay, thank God for grace. But that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for us to be obedient the first time. We must not think too much with our mind. Too much mind will get us in trouble. Oftentimes when I'm laying in bed with Karen, I'm thinking about something that's on my mind, and I'm turning over and trying to get comfortable and stuff. And of course, I woke Karen up, and she said, "What's the matter? Too much mind?" And I go, "Yeah, too much mind." And too much mind, you know, it will prevent us from doing things. But think with our spirit. So we don't want to have too much mind. We want to think with our spirit and our heart, and move in obedience when we are told to. Amen. When we are told to. Some parting thoughts. So when we come to our wilderness of Zen, and we all have a wilderness of Zen, we all will come to a wilderness of Zen in our life. A place in our life where God is looking for a rededication, a recommitment, a rededication, a doubling down, looking for that. And we will time and time again, the very first thing we must do before we start looking around is to make sure our dedication is up to date. God is looking for that dedication, that commitment to Him. If need be, again, come to our Father in complete surrender so that we could follow Him in obedience. We will never, ever be able to move in obedience to God if we are not surrendered, if we're not dedicated, if we're not committed to God. I know Christians, believe it or not, that are dedicated to the church, they're dedicated to their denomination, they're dedicated to this, but they're not really dedicated to God. They're more concerned about what the denomination says and so forth and so on, and this trapping and that trapping, than really being dedicated to God in God's Word in their life. We do not obey God because most often we lack a surrender to God. When we are disobedient, we do that because we lack a surrender to God. We can never follow or His people if there is not first a dedication and surrender to God. So we must dedicate ourselves to God. We must surrender ourselves to God. And then, as we are submitted and dedicated to God, then we'll be able to submit and dedicate ourselves in spiritual authority to God's people. Paul said, imitate me or come after me as I imitate Christ. Wow. What a tremendous saying. I think that's 1 Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me. Does your walk with the Lord, can you say that? Imitate me. Do the things that I do. Wow. As I imitate Christ. Boy, that's a tremendous statement. Paul could say that. Doing so will assure our success in going up and to possess that which God has set before us. Doing so with that dedication and that surrender will assure our success in possessing that which God, He has set before us. He has set before us the great unknown. the great unknown. It doesn't matter, again, where he's going and what he's doing and so forth and so on. The only thing that matters is we just follow him in obedience and what he wants. Here, tell us. When we need to know, here, tell us. And not until, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. When he wants you to know something, here, tell you. Until then, just keep moving in obedience to him, what he wants to do. First things first, those ABCs. Do you have the courage and faith to move forward in the unknown? But look ahead to the right. The wilderness of Moab is waiting. So we're going to be leaving the wilderness of Zin. God had purpose and plan for the children of Israel to go into the promised land again. But they weren't committed. They weren't dedicated. There was no way God could let them go in and do the things that they wanted to do. They had to go left to go in there, but now they can only go right, and they're moving further and further away from the promised land. And the next wilderness we're going to go into is the wilderness of Moab. The wilderness of Moab. The people wanted the promised land, but God had so much more for them. I always was kind of amazed that the people always wanted the land that flowed with milk and honey and all the good things. But God had so much more than salvation for us. Let me say that again. God has so much more than salvation. But unless we lay that foundation of salvation, then we'll never ever receive those things that God has for us, more than just our sins be forgiven, and we would have salvation. God wants a wholeness into our life, a completion in us. Amen? The people failed in Zin. The children of Israel failed in Zin. No surrender, no dedication. So God gave them another wilderness, another testing, another opportunity to learn the lessons that God wanted them to learn. All of these different wildernesses that God led them through, they were all just another opportunity, just more lessons to learn that needed to be done to be spiritually successful. Now, a little bit of history on Moab, again. Moab is a land named after an incestuous son of Lot. And of course, you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, and his wife turned into a pillar of salt, and so it was just Lot, basically, and his two daughters. And the two daughters thought that they were the only people left on earth, so they got Lot a little tipsy, and they had sex with their father. And the sons of the daughter and Lot were the inhabitants of Moab. So you can imagine what we have there, spiritually speaking. Amen. So Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and for your mercies, Father. Lord, we thank you for your grace and we thank you for this teaching, Father. Lord, let us not, Father, Lord, let us not be like the children of Israel in any of the wildernesses, Father, Lord, especially the wilderness of Zin, Father. Lord, let us have that daily, renewal, the daily, recommitment. Father, Lord, let that just be a part of our daily routine so that, Father, we're never, ever not move in obedience to you, Father. Lord, impress upon our hearts that we are obedient the first time, the very first time that you speak, Father. For I know that's what you're looking for in our lives. And we just thank you, Father, and ask you to lay this word at our heart's door, Father, Lord God. And Lord, let it transform us, Father, Lord God, more into the character and image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And we just thank you and we praise you. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Amen. Amen.